Well, for the last 10 years, I've had to do something that's hurt my pride. Haven't been wearing a tie lately, but I'm wearing a tie today. It's not my beloved Razorbacks, but it's my new team, Alabama Crimson Tide. The Apostle Paul and I, he was our worship leader for a number of years, and we had this standing fun game we played. If Arkansas won, he'd had to wear the Razorback tie. If Alabama won, I had to wear the Alabama tie. Wish I'd never made that. But in honor of my friend Paul and his family, Harrison, buddy, one day. My sermon title today is Keep Moving Forward. Keep Moving Forward. I love football, and I remember I used to read a lot about football. I don't read as much about sports as I used to. Probably a reason for that. But read about this guy who played at the University of Tennessee. He was an absolute astounding player, and he was an All-American fullback at the University of Tennessee. His name was George Cofago. He was drafted by the Brooklyn Dodgers. And you say, Brooklyn Dodgers, that's not a football team. It was then. And one game they were playing the New York Giants, and in that game, it was coming toward halftime, and it was a sloppy, muddy field because it was rain-soaked. And it would be George Cofago to the left, a dive off the left tackle, and George Cofago to the right. And down the field they went 3 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards, 6 yards, marching all the way down the field. And as they got toward the goal line, back then they had clocks. We didn't have the digital world. And they had clocks, and the face of the clock was just like a real clock. And you would see the hand going around, and it was coming down toward zero. And the handoff was given to George Cofago on the 4 yard line. He was hit by two men behind the line of scrimmage, but he kept moving forward. And then five other guys piled on him. And just as he crossed the goal line and fell over the goal line, the gun went off to signal the end of the first half. And one fan was heard saying, "My soul, they had to shoot him to stop him." I wish that could be said about the Arkansas Razorbacks, but it can't today. But would you stand with me, please? We're going to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul was in prison, his first imprisonment, and he said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead, and I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let us bow and pray together. Heavenly Father, I do pray that as followers of Christ, that we might continue to press on. We might reach toward the goal. We might realize one thing is truly calling us, and that is you. And that is your goal for us. And Father, the calling that you placed upon our lives. And I pray that we would continue moving forward regardless of what impediments in front of us. So give us strength, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us faith to never stop, to never give up. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul was talking through the letter into the Ephesians or to the Philippians, and he was basically letting them know that life wasn't easy. In fact, he was in prison. It was very difficult. But even though it's difficult, there's some things that you should not do. And basically what he said to us first is never be content to just compete. Never be content just to be in the race. Never be content to say, "Well, you know what? I have done my part and I am running the race and and that's all that's important. Don't be content just to be in the race. You see, what he wants us to do is to go that second mile. In fact, Jesus spoke about this in Matthew's gospel in chapter 5 and verse 41. He said, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. In fact, don't be content just to be in the race. Don't be content just to give a little bit. Give every single thing that you have with every fiber of your being. Keep moving forward. And what he's really saying is this: do more than is expected. Don't be content just to enter the race. I love what Andrew Carnegie said. He said there are two types of people in the world that won't ever accomplish much. The first person is that person who will only do what he's told. The second person is that person that doesn't do any more than he's told. What we are supposed to do is strive for more, to give our very best, not just to compete, but to go for the goal, to go for the win, to give every single fiber within our being to the race, to race with all that we are. I love what Walter Chrysler said. Walter Chrysler said, you give me 10 men that can't read the face of a clock or can't hear the whistle blow, and I will move this program and I will move my company. It will be number one in the world. And you know what? When we come to that place where we say, I'm not content just to compete, I'm going to give everything that I have. And the reason we should do this, and the reason we should do it every single day, is Paul is basically telling us, guys, I'm in prison. The opportunities are limited, but I'm not going to stop, and I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to back up. So what we understand is this: time is something that God has given each one of us, not to abuse, not to misuse, and to understand that we don't have an unlimited supply of time. I look in the mirror each morning and I see my countenance. I'm getting older by the day. Very soon I'm going to be 56. Some of you say that's old. Some of you say you're just a pup. But you know what? Every day that I live is one less day that I have to serve, one less day that I have to give. And you see, what God has called us to do is give everything that we have. And what we need to understand is this: life is a gift. Yesterday is gone. It's a canceled check. People say, you know what happened yesterday? Forget yesterday. And tomorrow's a promissory note. Today is all you have. Grasp today with gusto. Give all that you have. If you were to survey 100 people in Fulton County, Arkansas, I don't believe anybody would like to say this: oh, Brother John, I just want to live a mediocre life. I don't believe anybody would be content to say that. You see, don't be content just to get in the race. Don't be content just to compete in the race. Get up and get busy and make a difference for eternity. I love what James said in James chapter 4, verse 14. He said, what is your life? It's like a vapor. It's here a short time and it's gone. I mean, it passes so quickly. You ask anyone that's 70 years old or 80 years old, say, did it seem a long time? And every one of them will say, it seemed like a moment, and then it was gone. It was here, I was young, and now I'm old. So don't be content to just compete. And the second thing I want you to see in our text, it's in verse 13. And this one thing I do, one thing that I concentrate on. Watch what he said. Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forget those things which are behind, reach towards those things which are ahead. So don't get caught up in the chaos. Don't get caught up in the gossip. Don't get caught up in the junk. Don't get caught up in going through that corn maze. Don't let that sideline you or short-circuit you from doing what God has placed before you. Paul said, this one thing I do. Paul concentrated all of his effort on Christ. He wouldn't be sidelined. He wouldn't be sidetracked. He wouldn't change his mind. He wouldn't change his subject. All he could see was that one thing. And you know, the problem that you and I have is this: it's not that we don't love Jesus. It's not that we don't want to be faithful to church. Let me tell you what our problem is. We get going in so many different directions that we're splintered. We're split. I mean, this pulls us, and this pulls us, and this pulls us, and this pulls us, and this pulls us. And we just get diverted from the main thing. And Christ said, I want you to make the main thing the main thing. I love what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. He'd gone back from Babylonian captivity, and he was rebuilding the wall. And they were trying to sideline him. But watch what he said. I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? What he was saying is, listen, I don't have time for the nonsense. I don't have time for the incidental. I don't have time for that which is not most important. I only have time for what's the most important thing. He was saying, this one thing I do. So let me ask you a couple questions. What one thing do you desire from God? I mean, what is it? What one thing? Think about it with me. What one thing do you desire from God? Well, King David tells us what he desired from God. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, he said this, one thing I desire from the Lord that I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know what one thing he wanted? He wanted to dwell with the Lord. He wanted to be in the Lord's house. And Paul, like David, said, this one thing I do. And you know what? We need to come to the place that we say, this one thing I desire from God. What is it for you? Is it a better marriage? Is it a better marriage? Do you want God to infuse your marriage with love and strength and peace? And do you need that relationship? You see, some people have it and you don't have it, and you just need the marriage that God wants you to have. You want a better marriage. I mean, you sit across the room from each other, you don't talk, and if you do talk, it's like two dogs snarling at one another. Listen, you need the marriage that God wants you to have. What you need to do is you say, God, this one thing I desire. Or is it a relationship with Christ? We saw three people identify with Jesus Christ today in believers' baptism. What one thing do you need? I need Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I need a relationship with Him. Some of you that are believers, you just need to enjoy God. You need to enjoy Him because you're not really enjoying the fullness of the relationship that He has offered. You're just kind of going through the motions. You're caught up in the chaos, and you're not enjoying what God has laid out for you. For me, I had to go to a meeting on Monday night, and you know what I prayed all the way to that meeting? For one thing, wisdom. Wisdom. And I prayed, God, give me wisdom. If I open my mouth, I say the right things. Give me wisdom, God. I don't want to say something that would be detrimental to the cause of Christ. I need wisdom. And James says, if you lack wisdom, ask. He'll freely give. Some of you here today, you know what you need? You say, Brother John, what I need more than anything else, I've got that relationship with Christ, and I've got peace in my marriage, but I need financial freedom. I need financial freedom. I am bound up. I feel like I owe everybody in the world. Listen, get in the Word of God. Seek Him and get on the financial path to freedom, because once you have that, you have peace that you can't even believe. But seek Him. What do you desire from the Lord? What one thing? The second thing I want you to hear is this. What one thing do you lack? What one thing do you need? I think of the rich young ruler. And that rich young ruler, I mean, he said, I've done all these things from my youth. Lord, I've kept the commandments. I've done everything right. But Jesus then puts his finger on a place in his life that wasn't fully surrendered to God, and Jesus looked at him, and watch what he did. He loved him, and then he said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross, follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This man didn't have financial problems, but he did have financial problems. His finances had him. They controlled him. And some people are like that. What one thing do you lack? And this rich young ruler lacked a compassion for others to give to help others. And his wealth kept him from a relationship with Jesus. What has God showed you and you have refused to change? What one thing do you lack? And you say, Lord, I'm not going there. I refuse to do that. I'm not going there. You know, for some people, I'll tell you what they lack. Lord, I want your blessings. I want everything you have for me. But one thing, I am not going to give any of my money to your work. I want the blessings, but I'm not going to give any of my money to the kingdom's work. What one thing do you lack? And there's people in this congregation that could stand up and say, you know what? You won't believe how God's blessed me after I came to the place where I gave him the first fruits. Amen. It's amazing. But you say, what thing? One thing do you lack? Well, thirdly, what one thing do you need to let go of? I mean, what one thing that you grip so tightly that's holding you back from a complete commitment to Jesus Christ do you need to let go of? Well, for Paul, you think about Paul. We're talking about Paul here today. I mean, Paul, what one thing he needed to let go of could have been the stoning of Stephen. I mean, he'd stoned Stephen. He'd been there and held their clothes and their coats, and they stoned Stephen. Or it could have been persecuting the church, because on the way to Damascus, what he was going there for was not to be converted, but was to kill Christians. What one thing did he need to let go of? It could have been his eyesight. It could have been, hey, Lord, this thorn in the flesh, it's bothering me. Release me from it. What is it in your life that's holding you back that you need to let go of, but you won't let go? Listen, you can't move forward while you're holding on to something in the past. It could be a hurt. It could be a hurt. You're hurt as a child. You're maligned as a child. You're mistreated as a child. Maybe sexually abused as a child. Maybe you went to school and you're mistreated by others. You're bullied by others. And you just need to let it go. And you say, I can't let it go because it identifies me. Let it go. There comes a time in our life that we're either going to live in the past and let the past destroy us, or we're going to let go of the past and move to the future and enjoy what God has for us. And you say, it's not that easy. Oh, I know it's not easy, but often we don't want to let go because that is our identifier. That's how we identify. That's how we get our self-worth. I would have done this, but this. I would have gone here, but this. And we just continue to hold on and hold on. Or maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's a failure. Who in here hasn't failed? We've all failed. All failed. All been maligned. We've all gone through difficulties and trials. But I'm going to tell you something. What you have to do is let it go. Let it go. What one thing do you need to let go of? And you need to say today, God, let me let go of this. Help me. And then fourthly, what one promise do you need to claim? What do you need to claim? God, I know that your book, that the Word of God is full of promises, and John spoke about that a few weeks ago, but what promise is it? What one thing do I need from you? What do I need to claim? I think of King David again. You know, King David, he's an interesting character as you study him. And I mean, King David, he had it all, but he didn't always have it all. When he was a little boy, a young man, Samuel came down to anoint one of Jesse's boys, and he was the son of Jesse, kings. But guess what? David wasn't even brought out by his father because he was the smallest and he was a runt, and you wouldn't want him. Oh, Eliab's standing there. Eliab's about 6'4", about 220 pounds. He's built like a Greek god. He looks good, and surely it's Eliab. But you know what? He passed over every one of those boys, and Samuel said, do you have another boy? He said, I've got a little boy out back keeping the sheep, but he's just a little boy. Bring him here. And that was the man that God wanted. But you know, after he anointed him king, do you know what happened to him? He didn't go to the throne. First he had to go through Goliath. And then once he got through Goliath, you'd think everything would be great, but it wasn't. And after he went through Goliath, you know what happened to him? The king tried to take his life. He'd throw a spear at him. He would pursue him, and he pursued him for years. 7 long years he pursued David to try to take his life. I mean, David was like between a rock and a hard place. Watch what he said in Psalm 56. He says these words, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. Whether you're going through a good time, whether you're going through a bad time, claim the promises of God. God, I'm latching on to that. I'm forgiving that person who hurt me. I'm gonna latch on to your love and to your grace. You know what? Once you come to Christ, and we had 3 people identify with Jesus, believers' baptism today. Listen, once you're a new creature in Jesus Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creature. You need to latch on to that. You need to claim that promise. I'm not who I used to be. Ephesians 2:8-10 says that for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what God's done for you. That's a promise to claim. We need to say, Lord, I claim those promises. Third major point, and I've got to hurry here. Paul said in verse 13, we need to refuse to be paralyzed by the past. He said, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You see, Paul knew how to forget. Now, you and I, apart from senility or hypnosis or brain malfunction, can't forget unless it's a list of groceries we're supposed to pick up at the store. Sandy doesn't make a list. If it's over three things, gone. Gone. But you know what? Things that have happened to us in the past, we can't forget those things. Good things, bad things. And here's what often happens. We latch on to the bad things and we hold them close. Or we latch on to the good things. It's almost like Bruce Springsteen when he sang Glory Days. I mean, boy, back in high school, I was something. Or, you know, when I was a young man and I used to be really good and people lived there. That's in the past. Let it go. Let it go. It doesn't matter the failures. It doesn't matter the successes. That's yesterday. This is today. Let it go. I talk to people all the time, and all they want to talk about is what happened in the past. Listen, let it go. Good or bad, let it go. Fido. You know what that means? Those of you who've been here a long time, forget it and drive on. Let it go. Let it go. Now, the Apostle Paul could have hung on to some things that happened in the past that were bad. He could have hung on to the times he was shipwrecked, the times he was let down in the basket out of Ephesus. He could have hung on to the times that he was maligned by the early church. He could have hung on to that stuff, and he could have brought it up every time the opportunity availed itself, but he let it go. And I think of an Old Testament saint, Joseph. Joseph was a guy, I mean, here's a guy who really had to let go of things. I mean, you think about Joseph. He was his father and mother's favorite child. He had 11 brothers, and they didn't like him. And he was bringing them a little bit of food one day, and they said, you know what? I don't like Joe. Let's throw Joe in this pit, and let's just go ahead and take his life. They throw him down in the pit. Then they decide, well, let's don't do that. So they sell him into slavery to the Ishmaelites who are going to Egypt. They sell their brother into slavery. Gets down to Egypt. Things go pretty good for a short period of time. He's maligned again by Potiphar's wife, who claimed that he did something which he did not do, and he ended up in jail for it, and he spent the next several years in jail. A total of 13 years of Joseph's life. I mean, they're just bad, 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 worse. And yet, at the end of that, he saves his brothers, he saves his father, he saves the entire Hebrew clan, and they come down to Egypt, and they really expand and become a great nation of God there. And his brothers are concerned after their father dies. And in chapter 50 and verse number 20, they say something like this. Joseph, we know what happened back there, and we know that you've got the right. He said, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Now, I want you to think about that. Bad things that happen in our life that we latch on to. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? And here I am. I'm really struggling right now. I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling relationally. Why did that happen? Remember this truth. Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God and those called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. What you've gone through, what you're going through, it may seem horrible, but let me tell you, it makes you the person that God wants you to be. Amen. Learn the lesson, move on. Fourth thing, and I'm done. Verse 14, stay focused till you finish. Stay focused till you finish. Paul said these words, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love those words, I press. It means that it's an intense endeavor. This persistence, it describes, that word describes a dog pursuing prey or a racer going for the stripe, the winning stripe, the line to break the tape to say I'm the victor. Paul's writing from that Roman jail for things that he had not really done. He's paying a price, but he said, I continue to move forward. Now, Paul, we could probably say, you know, Paul, whoa, 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 Paul, wait, wait, wait. Wait, you press on. Wait, Paul, you're in jail. Wait, Paul, think for us for a minute, Paul. I mean, you have conquered cities, Paul. You've started churches, Paul. All the sermons you preached, Paul. All the New Testament books you've written, Paul. Hey, Paul, you've done enough. Slow down. It's all good. Relax, Paul. But Paul wasn't content to relax. Do you know something? You don't win the race by listening to sermons. You don't win the race by watching movies. You don't win the race by sitting on the sidelines. You win the race by preparing for the race, getting in the race, and running with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So some of you just need to get in the race. Some of you have been sitting on the sidelines long enough. And some that are a little older here, maybe you've hung up your spiritual duds because you've done your due. Well, I challenge you, like the Apostle Paul, you're not done. You still have breath in your lungs, right? Run. 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 Get up off the sidelines and run with endurance. I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, these words. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am, send me." And then in verse 11 it said, then I said, "How long, Lord, how long do you want me to go? Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land." You know what? Don't stop. Keep going. How long? Forever. Until I tell you it's over. I don't know. Sandy and I love going to plays. We love the arts. And you know, one of my favorite plays is by Thornton Wilder. The very end. If you know the play, they have this little town called Our Town, and up on the hill is a cemetery. And all of these people that have lived in that town are buried in that cemetery. And there's one young lady who died in childbirth whose name is Emily. And Emily just begs and begs to go back to the town one day in her life, just one day. And she goes back on a day, it was her birthday. And nobody can see her, obviously. Nobody can hear her. And she's so saddened by the mundane lives that everyone's living. And then she says, "Take me back, take me back." And then she says, stop for just a moment. And she looks around the house and she looks in the yard. And then she says these words, "Goodbye to clocks ticking. Goodbye. Goodbye, world. Goodbye, Grover's Corner. Goodbye, Mama and Papa. Goodbye, Mama's sunflowers and food and coffee and iron dresses and hot baths and sleeping and waking up. Oh, earth, you're too wonderful. You're too wonderful for anybody to realize." And then she pauses. And then she asks this question. "Do any humans realize life while they live it? Every minute?" There are a few people who grasp it, who seize the day. But most just muddle through life. I'm not content to muddle. I want to live my life to the fullest. I want to make a difference. I want to press on toward the mark. One thing I do, one thing I do, one thing I do, one thing I do. What is that one thing for you? Get back in the race. If you've been on the sidelines, get back in the game. If you've never been born again, come and give your life to Christ. Make a difference. Seize the day. This is your moment. This is your moment. Anthony Newley played an every man's character in the movie called Once in a Lifetime. And he sang this song. He said, "This is my moment. I'm going to do great things." but he never did. This is our moment. Grasp it. Grasp it. Heavenly Father, I pray we might recognize the significance of the moments. And we might press toward the mark. We might find that one thing and might do it with all of our heart and soul, with all of our strength and our will and our mind. And we might be kingdom builders. God, I pray today for those who need to come to Christ. I pray for those who need to get off the bench. And I pray for those who just need to come and say, Lord, here I am. I'm here to serve. I want to plant my life right here at Salem First Baptist and make a difference eternally. Heavenly Father, draw men, women, boys, and girls to yourself with the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.